B-Pod Studios.
It is our great honor to be joined by a two-time Super Bowl champion, a philanthropist as well, does a lot of work in the community, entrepreneur, broadcaster now, works with Sirius XM, NFL Radio, The Opening Drive, he's the co-host of that, The Purple Show on WJZ in Balmer, Maryland as well, does a lot of work now covering football throughout the NFL. Like I said, we know him best here in Philadelphia as the man with a $1 million smile and a guy that caught one of the best flea flickers I've ever seen in my entire life in that NFC Championship game from Nick Foles en route to a Super Bowl championship here in Philadelphia. Torrey Smith is on the line with us right now. What's up, Torrey Smith?
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
We are doing great. We're doing fantastic, man. We're just so delighted to be joined by you, man. We're glad you can make it on with us here. What have you been up to since you hung them up, man?
Just family. that's the biggest thing right now, being we're homeschooling. We took our kids out of school until they can go back regular because my kids are so young. And they have about 2 seconds on the computer, so it wasn't going to work for us. Just that. I have my podcast that I'm doing well along with the media, you know, where I talk about a little bit of everything from sports to real life to parenting. And I've been doing a lot of work in the community as well. We're in the process of partnering with Baltimore Rec and Parks to take over a community center. So it's been a lot going on the last year.
Yeah, Torrey, it's funny, joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Torrey Smith, somebody said to me, what are you making that guy wake up early for? And I said, well, he's got a young kid. You got three young kids, right?
Yeah, and one of them was up at 6:20 this morning, so... they're going to be up. That's never an issue.
I appreciate them being up that early to listen to us. That's very nice of them. Torrey, I need to go back. We'll start with Baltimore here. Obviously, it's an Eagles-Ravens game kicking off here Sunday, 1 o'clock in South Philadelphia. The Ravens offense just seems to be all systems go, obviously, with the reigning MVP and Lamar Jackson. They got one heck of a Super Bowl-winning coach that you, of course, used to play for down there. When you talk about Jim Harbaugh and you talk about that offense, what makes them so good?
I think just leadership. You know, I think oftentimes we like to talk about coaches and the way they are, but the best thing about any coach is their leadership, because really the guys who are getting it done is the staff that they select. You know, they aren't coaching positions. They aren't coaching either side of the ball in most cases. So now, you know, it's all about leadership. So to be around him, watch the way he let his guys do their job, watch the way he communicated and led the players. You know, he's a special coach and he's one of the best in the game.
John Harbaugh from the Andy Reid coaching tree, Doug Peterson from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Are there, when I think of those two guys, I don't think of similarities. I mean, both Super Bowl champions, obviously. But are there any similarities between those two?
I just think beyond them just being good men, no. I think their leadership styles are different, just the way they communicate. I love Coach Peterson's leadership style as well. Obviously, Harbaugh has a special teams background, so he's heavy in the special teams, whereas Coach Peterson would be more so involved in the offensive side of the ball. And you will see both of them. Obviously, that's what they favor. That's where their interest is. That's where, you know, their experience. So you would for sure see that in the way they teach. Harbaugh would be just as likely to jog down in a special teams drill as anything else, the same way as Coach Peterson to step in and show you how he wants something done on the offensive side of the ball. So they're for sure different in the way they coach and they communicate.
With the exception of the year you were here, Torrey, speaking with Torrey Smith, we've looked at 9-7 seasons here with Doug Peterson. We've looked at just eking into the playoffs with Doug Peterson, whether it be Nick Foles coming at the end of the season or Carson Wentz rallying the team at the end of the year. And we go through a full year of, Doug, what are you doing? Run the ball more. You know, design, you know, more creative plays, whatever it might be. And then at the end of the season, he galvanizes the locker room, it seems like, and that leadership you speak of really seems to ring true the most at the end of the year. What is it about that leadership Doug Peterson has with the way he's able to control a locker room?
Yeah, I think it's about figuring out a way to get it done. And I think he has a great job of putting that message through. Obviously, he's a great teacher, and the staff there is very talented as well. So when you're working together and guys honestly believe in each other, and let's not kid ourselves, it's a very talented team as well. It's been full of talent over the years, even though injuries have, I don't know who's been praying evil on the Eagles, but, you know, talent-wise, you know, the roster still has it. So when you have that type of leadership, you're able to push through, you know, when it seems like you're looked down on. And obviously the underdog role in Philly plays well into the coaches and to the players. And, you know, it's not about what you're doing this time of the year or even in the middle of the season. It's about peaking and playing your best ball at the end. And to be honest, it doesn't matter how you get to the playoffs. You just have to try to find a way to give yourself a chance.
Torrey, Carson Wentz has struggled this year in ways that we never thought he would.
and he seems to be turning around a little bit. But in the time that you were with him, what makes you tell us, or how can you tell us that he'll turn this thing around from the time that you spent with him makes you believe that?
Yeah, I think we had, first of all, just his personality, the way he works and how much it matters to him. I don't think right now he's set up to succeed in terms of, you know, the way things were that year I was there. One, the team was healthy, right? Like, we keep forgetting that football is the ultimate team sport.
Yeah.
Yes, quarterbacks get a lot of credit, and they also take a lot of the blame, but it isn't all on him. You know, he can't block for himself. His wide receivers are young in some cases, and they're not as experienced. They're going to be great down the line, but, you know, they're not as experienced right now. So it's like the perfect storm of everything that can go wrong right now. So there's more on him to get it done. But once he gets in rhythm, when he's protected, obviously he's one of the best in the game. And I think once they get to that, and even the offensive line, once they settle in and they go, because a lot of guys who haven't had experience there as well, you know, along with injuries. So when they get that together, they'll be fine. Because Carson, talent-wise, is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I know people give him a hard time in Philadelphia. But I promise you, just based on what I've been around, and I'm comfortable saying he's the most talented quarterback that I've played with. And the way he prepares and the way he leads, you know, I would never bet against him.
What makes him so good? And also, what gives you confidence that he could possibly get back to that 2017 status?
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who can make every throw. A guy that understands the offense, can change things, get you in certain positions. You're talking about a guy that can move. Right, his mobility. Can you imagine if there wasn't a quarterback that could move in Philadelphia right now? No disrespect. What that would look like? I mean, like, we have to be honest here.
Yeah.
You know, like, the offensive line just isn't playing as well right now. So you take for granted that Carson has the ability to make plays with his feet or get out of certain situations. The other guys will be sacked. So, you know, I think right now this is the reality of the team, and the coaches are going to find a way and the players are going to find a way to get in rhythm and try to change things.
1-3-1 right now. The Philadelphia Eagles sit at in the NFC East. They're half game out. When things haven't gone this well, how uplifting is it to know that you're at least not out of playoff contention already?
Oh, that's huge. You look at that every time. If you happen to lose that game, you're looking like, well, what did everyone else in the division do? But hey, we're not going to be number one seed or number two seed, but hey, we have a chance. So, I mean, when you're looking at that, you know, the glass is very much still half full. It doesn't look the way you want it to look. I mean, even if you look on the other side of the ball, the Ravens aren't playing their best ball right now, but they're winning. So that's what matters more than anything else. Again, collect the wins now and then make your run towards the end of the year.
Torrey, you talked about the injuries that the Eagles have had, and obviously Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, they've missed a lot of time, and you have those young receivers coming up. How do you handle that as a veteran, trying to get back from injury, but also, I guess, trying to be a mentor to these younger guys?
Yeah, you know, it's part of your role just to be yourself and be a mentor, and they're lucky to have, you know, Alshon and D-Jack there. You know, those are two of the more talented guys that have been in this league over the last 10 years or so. So they have some great ones to learn from their experience, from the positives and the negatives from their experience. So they're lucky to have those guys there. But as a veteran trying to get back, it is frustrating, especially when you see a team struggling. You know, you want to do everything that you can to be out on the field, and sometimes your body just doesn't cooperate. You know, you can't force it to be ready when it's not. So when those guys are back, I'm sure you'll see a different Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Speaking with Torrey Smith, Torrey, when you look back on your two Super Bowl victories, right, what sticks out to you from the Ravens Super Bowl championship and what sticks out to you from the Eagles Super Bowl championship?
Just the time difference. You know, I remember playing in my first time, you know, I'm wet behind the ears, my second year in the league. And, you know, it's Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, all these older guys. And, you know, I'm kind of just, the moment wasn't too big for me, but I for sure never played anything like that. You know, we played in terrible bowl games when I was in Maryland. So I was never in a big game like that. And to be there on the stage with them, it was an awesome experience, but I was a younger guy. And then you go to Philadelphia, and now I'm one of the vets of the team, and I'm celebrating. I have kids now on that I'm celebrating with afterwards. I mean, it was just a crazy experience, and the journeys were similar. A lot of injuries, a lot of doubt, and we continued to stick together, and we fought, and we won.
When you look back on your year in Philadelphia, is it comparable to any other year as far as, you know, fan base being into it, you know, young quarterback like that and Carson Wentz? Is it comparable to anything else?
No, man, I think obviously it's easy to compare the two Super Bowl teams that I won. I think family-wise, it was very similar. But, I mean, that journey, man, and being the first to do it in Philadelphia, it was different. I mean, I would be lying if I said it wasn't. I mean, Philadelphia is a different type of fan base. Like, I tell people all the time, like, you know, I love Baltimore. I live here. You know, I still do a lot of things here. And the Philadelphia fans were just different. You know, I mean, you get into an Uber and they're listening to this radio station. So, I mean, it's the craziest thing. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they look like, where they're from. Everyone's all in on the sports teams. And it was something that was special to me. And obviously, my wife being from Conjohocken, to have the opportunity to come back, be in the area, to be around her family, my kids. And my wife are closer to her family now than they ever were because we played there. So it was a lot of things for me personally that just aligned with, you know, the way the team went.
Tori, you've seen a lot of Lamar Jackson, and trying to figure out how to defend him is a defensive coordinator's nightmare. But what do you see defenses that may succeed against him? What do they do that might lend to a good outcome for the Eagles?
Oh, you have to keep him contained. You know, if you're undisciplined and you're trying to rush them and get to them like you would normal quarterbacks, you're going to be in trouble if those running lanes open up. And I think, you know, obviously they're going to try to stop the run first. That's the way you beat them. You have to stop the run. They want to run the ball first. They just happen to have, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league in Lamar Jackson. And, you know, you have to keep him running when he does run because he's going to. You have to make him go side to side. And, you know, again, that's a lot easier said than done. You know, you're talking about a city that's had Mike Vick there, so you know how difficult it is. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Lamar runs way more than Mike does. So it's a tough task for anyone, and it only takes one mistake for him to, you know, bust the play wide open. So they're going to have to be disciplined. They're going to have to play great on the back end and, you know, just stop the run.
Tori, I have to ask you about this, obviously, winning with the Eagles here. You're on the field for Philly special. You're on the field for that play. What was it like for you when you first heard that play call? I mean, responsibility. What was going through your mind when that play call was made?
I was like, I can't believe we're really about to run this. You know, like, it was crazy, but it was like, man, like, you're excited about it. Because, you know, you practice. Every coach has some plays that you practice that the media will never see. And you're like, they're never going to pull it out. And he pulled it out in the Super Bowl. So for me, I was just like, man, just make sure you get across the field because I had a route where I was coming across. But for whatever reason, I just kept popping open all the time. But Trey Burton, they're like, Trey, you know, like, what happens if they actually cover Foles? You know, he's like, throw it in the back.
Yeah, you're wide open in the middle of the end zone on that play. Yeah,
it always, for whatever reason, I would keep popping. And, you know, he did a great job. Obviously, the play was perfect, and, you know, it hadn't happened too many times before then, so they weren't ready for it. But just to me, I had a front row seat. You know, I'll never forget watching Nick and seeing Trey and knowing that he is wide open. And, you know, they made it happen so many times in practice. And it was pretty cool to watch it and to celebrate, you know, the back end zone.
Yeah, I've always had a problem with that play because Trey Burton didn't scan the field. If he would have, he would have seen you wide open. No.
Hey, we'll take that easy touchdown.
Exactly. Now, a couple other plays from that run. Also, you had the reception. I believe it was before halftime or just after halftime. Nick Foles throws the ball off of Neal's knee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right before.
Goes
yeah.
Right to you, and you right place, right time.
Oh, that's when I knew we were going to win. I'm like, that's the luckiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, you have to think about, like, I was open on my initial route, but I wasn't the guy. He was throwing the Ertz behind, and the thing got hit. So I was getting in position in my mind, like, it's three of them. This ball's getting picked, and it's one of me. I don't know how I'm going to keep them from scoring. I would have had to just, like, stall trying to shuffle in front of them. You got two lead blockers, but that was the luckiest play I've ever seen, and to be a part of it is pretty cool. And it led to points, and knowing how the game turned out, it, like, when you look back, it's like, man, if we didn't, you know, get those points, then they may have been kicking a field goal to win the game, which is kind of crazy to think about.
And then speaking with Torrey Smith, the other play that also just I think of you every time is the flea flicker in the NFC Championship game. I've been told by multiple players, you might have even told me after the game as well, that it was the loudest you ever heard the link. I know it was just one season for you, but you get the touchdown. Patrick Robinson gets the interception return for a touchdown earlier in that game, and people are just losing their minds. What do you remember from the interception return and then also your flea flicker touchdown?
Oh, it was crazy. Definitely one of the loudest moments I've ever been a part of, ever. But I just remember on the flea flicker, you know, he called and I was supposed to, like, run a post, you know, kind of to clear it out for Alshon to come over. And I saw the safety in the middle of the field and I just ran it. went straight down the side. And, you know, he threw it. Obviously, probably one of the prettiest balls you'll ever see. And for it to count, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you draw the flea flicker in the backyard when you're playing football as a kid. you never picture running in the game, and that was for sure a special moment, and Coach Peterson was whipping it out doing that run, for sure. Mm.
A couple more things for you, Torrey, if you have the time for us here. The first off, I got to ask your prediction, your official prediction. Eagles, Ravens, Sunday.
I mean, I just have to be honest. I think the Ravens are the better team right now. I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, defensively, I think that offensive line is going to have a hard time blocking them consistently up front, which, I mean, obviously the Bengals have probably one of the worst offensive lines in the league. Mm. I don't think the Eagles are that bad, but they really struggled with them. So, also I think just running the ball, it's going to be, they're going to try to force it, and the Eagles are going to try to make them one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to come down to the front. I think their secondary for the Baltimore Ravens is the difference to me. They have two of, in my opinion, the top five corners in the NFL out there, and they're going to be matched up on these younger receivers. I'm just not sure if they're going to be ready for that yet. I mean, Fogle had a great game last week, but now he gets to see, in my opinion, the best corner in the NFL, in Marlon Humphrey. So it'd be a great test for him and for his confidence if he goes out there and succeeds. But I just think right now, where the Eagles are, I think the Ravens are the better team.
All right. Now, Torrey, I don't want to be the person that put words in your mouth here, so I'm going to let you speak for yourself. I have heard and, quite frankly, seen you argue the case that LeBron James is the player you would take over Michael Jordan. And
you can't say championships. Like, it's a team sport.
Mm.
Like, you're only as good as the guys around you. I've never seen a guy go out there and score 100 points by himself or stop the team and hold them to 50 points by himself. It's just not happening. And I think LeBron, the way he's led, I also think what plays into it for me is just the influence away from the game as well. I think he's doing so many things that other guys in leagues all across look up to, the way he's leading, you know. No disrespect to any of our, we all have our own personal issues, but you don't hear about him doing certain things. Like, he's not going to the casino
right.
The night before the game, you know. He's the ultimate pro. He's locked in, and also society was different back then, so that was kind of the norm. But the reality of it is, when you think of a pro's pro, especially for this era, it's LeBron James. But I'm not the guy that tries to throw anyone under the bus for saying Michael Jordan's the greatest. I always thought Michael Jordan was the greatest until LeBron James came across. So it's a debate that you can't have. I'm not the guy that's like, oh, you can't have it.
Don't right. Okay, okay, okay.
I do think LeBron's the greatest.
All right. Hey, Torrey, I really enjoyed this conversation, man. Next time I'm down ball, I'm going to look you up, hit up Jimmy's. How about that?
Let's go. Come on, get some crabs.
My man, thank you so much for coming on with us. Super Bowl champion, philanthropist, entrepreneur, broadcast. And you, like I said, SiriusXM, you work with them. The Opening Drive, you co-host that show. And you also have a great podcast. Tell me a little bit about the podcast again.
It's called Trending Thoughts. It's on all platforms. Like I said, I talk about any and everything from ball to family to issues that are going on in society. This has been a way for me to talk about things that are important to me in that moment. Hence why I called it Trending Thoughts, because whatever going on in the world are trending in my own personal life. So it's pretty cool.
My man, Trending Thoughts Podcast. Torrey Smith, really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.